Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Last week, we kind of began a topic that we find here in our text. And we're going to continue. I just felt like, as I was going on the study of things this week, that we needed to continue in this discussion about a very important topic and context. You understand that we're supposed to understand our enemy, right? I mean, what better way to defeat an enemy than to understand it, right? Isn't it hard to kind of conquer something or defeat something that you don't understand, that you don't know about? Like, well, what do I do next? Or what do I look out for? I'm not sure, right? So we're supposed to kind of figure this thing out and be able to understand how this enemy goes about things and how he works. What makes him tick, if you will, and what the weaknesses are and what the attacks are, so we can avoid them properly and be able to be successful. And so here we are in Ephesians chapter 6. If you found your place, if you'd please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. And we're going to begin in verse 10. I'll have you read with me out loud on the even verses. I'll read by myself on the odd verses as we go through verses 10 through verse 20. So beginning altogether in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We're going to be talking today more about the wiles of the devil. And listen, folks, I really believe, you know, listen, at church, you know, we come and we want to hear about God and the wonderful things about the scriptures. And yes, that's true. But God himself in scripture writes much about the enemy and about hell and about the difficulties and about the dangers of that. And a lot of times everybody just wants to feel good about coming to church and just hear all the feel good stuff. You know, they want all the praise and the worship, and let's talk about God and forgiveness and grace and mercy. And I'm not against that. But I think that too many times that's all people want to focus on, and they forget about sin and Satan and the difficulties and the struggles that are out there in life. And then when they focus on just this one side, when they're blindsided by all these other things, they're like, well, where's God? He's supposed to be here for me. He's supposed to keep me from having to deal with all that stuff that's bad and negative. And I don't, that's not how it works, folks. He gives us these things in scripture so that we're not ignorant, so that we're prepared for the day of battle. Because listen, it is a battle. This is a dark world out here that we traverse in. We don't just get that, oh, I'm saved now, and there's this easy life and this bed of roses ahead for me. And that's not how it works. If you want to think of salvation as something, just think about it as when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's this mysterious hand with a paintbrush painting a red circle, then a white circle, and a red circle, and a white circle, and a red, right on your back. You say, what? You mean being saved makes me a target? Yeah, it sure does. Well, I don't know if I want that then. It's worth it. It's worth it. But we need to pay attention to these things. And I, again, we're going to be talking about the grace of God today. We're going to be talking about those wonderful things. But we've got to understand that there is an enemy. And that we do need to listen to what the Apostle Paul said in our text when he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on, that's our job, the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So we started this last week, and for sake of time, I'm not going to go through the whole message again from last week. And you also would think that I don't do anything here but twiddle my thumbs and not prepare for messages. We don't want to give that impression either. Now, he says that these are wiles, these tricks, these strategies practiced for ensnaring or deception. They're sly and treacherous devices. And we need to watch out for them because they're not easily seen. They're easily overlooked. Obviously, if a snare was so obvious, would anybody fall into it? No. If it was a trick or a strategy that was not tricky or not strategic, then you wouldn't succumb to it, would you? So these are obviously things that good Christians fall into, isn't it? So we've got to be careful. The first one we mentioned last week was that of lies. You know, the devil is a liar. It says here, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's one of his favorite devices. That's one of his favorite wiles. The devil is a liar. He's a liar. And there is no truth in him. None. It's a falsehood uttered for the purpose of deception, an intentional violation of the truth. Watch out for lies and the father of lies. We need to be careful and be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The second one we talked about was that of subtlety. Subtlety. You know, it's the little things. It's just that sly, and the dictionary even says the word artful. Yeah. Ooh, that looks good. Not good. Not good. It's cunning. It's crafty. That's what subtlety is. Oh, Eve. Hi there. I'm Mr. Serpent. I heard that God said something, and did he say that you should not eat of every tree in the garden? Moving on. Okay. No? Somebody shaking their head? I'm just gonna stay here. All right. I get a chain. Now you're good? Hello? Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Okay. All right, we're okay. Just checking. Don't you all love technology? All right. Yes, amen. I don't. That's why if, If all the phone carriers hadn't conspired against me personally, I'd still have my flip phone. Those evil people. Now, Miss Eve, yea hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? I mean, he didn't pop out behind a tree and say, I'm the devil, the enemy of God, serve me. No, he just kind of slithered on in there or walked on in there, however you want to believe how that worked out. He said, hey, I got something for you. And the Bible tells us that he was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said, hey, watch out. He's artful. He's crafty. He's cunning. We need to be careful about the wiles of the devil. Then the third thing we talked about last week was that of his wile of temptation. Temptation. Trying to incite or solicit an evil act. To entice to do something wrong by presenting arguments that are plausible or convincing. Also to offer some pleasure or an apparent advantage as inducement. What did he tell Eve? God knows that if you eat of this fruit, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He was enticing her. He was tempting her with this wonderful knowledge. You know what he tells us here in this world today? You're missing all the fun. That old Baptist church and that old Baptist preacher and your mom and dad are trying to keep you from having fun. Hey, listen, folks, can I ask you something? Is sin pleasurable? Yeah, it is. To this old flesh, sin is pleasurable for a season. But what are the ends of it? Destruction? Death? Misery? He doesn't tell you that part. He just says, hey, you're going to enjoy this. You're going to love this. And guess what? Your flesh will get some pleasure from it. Because that's just the nature of things. But it's not worth it. He doesn't tell you that part. He just wants to try to tempt you with it. To try to give you the pleasure or apparent advantage. Look what you're missing. You're missing all this fun. Look at those fun they're having at these parties and all these things and all the things that they're experiencing. And you're not allowed to do that because those narrow-minded Baptists are keeping you from all that. It's temptation. You know, God wants to keep us from these things. Because he cares about us. He wants us to avoid the destruction and the sorrow associated with sin. He loves us. He wants to protect us. Just like any parent does their children. Why don't you let your kids just do whatever they want to do? And go wherever they want to go? And participate in whatever they want to participate in? Because you love them. Because you don't want them to be killed prematurely. You don't want them to be get some kind of horrible disease or experience some horrible tragedy. You want to protect them because you know. Maybe at your house when your kids are small and they're growing up and the mom's in the kitchen or the dad's in the kitchen, they're cooking and there's a stove top, right? Maybe a gas stove or an electric stove. And they're just trying to see what's going on, and they're gonna come up next to you, and you're over there cooking, and they're gonna put their hand up there, and you say, no! Because you know it's gonna burn them. And you're not trying to keep them from experiencing something. Well, you kind of are, I guess. But it's not a bad thing, it's a good thing.
You know, I often say about fences, fences are not there because the farmer hates his cattle. He's not trying to keep them from something bad, or good, rather. He's trying to keep them from something bad. Be happy within the fences, folks. Know that those fences are for your protection. They're for your benefit. They're so that you can be able to stand against the wiles of the devils. Know about this enemy. Well, those are the three that we covered last week. And I want to move on and talk about another wiles of the devil. Another trick, another strategy he incorporates. And that's one that's built within every single one of us. And that's pride. It's pride. What is pride? Pride is inordinate self-esteem. Now, I'm not against self-esteem. Okay? I mean, I think that we should not walk around thinking, oh, I'm worthless, I can't do anything, I'm no good for nothing. Okay, I'm not about that. But be understanding that I, in and of myself, truly am nothing. It's Christ in me that's everything. But I do have talents and abilities. I do have things that God created within me to use for His honor and glory. And there's nothing wrong with that. As long as I don't take that glory and honor for myself. But pass it on to God Almighty. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He's the one that deserves the honor and glory for what He's created. Am I not His creation? Yeah. So, but we've got to be careful about pride, because pride is the thing that comes into our lives and says, oh no, it's you. Yeah, you. You're the great orator. Oh yeah, you can sing those notes and you can carry a tune and yeah, you can do those things. I mean, you're physically able to dribble a basketball and to put it in a hoop or to carry a football or you're able to take a stick and swing it back and hit a little tiny white ball and it goes in the hole. No, it's not my ability. It's what God has given to me as an ability. And it ought to be used for His honor and glory. It's an inordinate self-esteem. An unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority and talents. What happened to Lucifer? Was he a beautiful creature? Was he created with all kinds of beauty and wonder and ability? Wasn't he given a grand position in heaven? Oh, he was. So what happened? Pride. I will sit up. I will be like the Most High. I'll be the one. We need to be careful of pride. You understand that that's what got Lucifer kicked out of heaven. In Isaiah 14 it says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He had an eye problem, didn't he? And that's what happens to you and me when we succumb to pride. When we let pride into our lives. Because pride is one of the wiles of the devil that tricks us, that ensnares us, that deceives us. In Psalm 10, the Bible says, the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, though through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. For all his enemies he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved. For I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly, as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor, and when he draweth them into his net, he croucheth and humbleth himself, that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. I don't know of a better description in Scripture of how pride ensnares people. And think about it. To get to the place where we say that God doesn't see anything. He doesn't hear. He's not watching. He doesn't know what I'm doing. He doesn't exist. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. You understand, folks, that's what happens when we allow pride to have a foothold in our lives. Hey, you know what? It starts out really innocent. Hey, I got a job. Making such and such money. And so we stop praying for God to meet our daily needs. I'm okay. I can pay the rent. There's food in the fridge. I got this. Aren't we told by Jesus in the model prayer that we're supposed to ask God to meet our daily needs? You say, oh, that's not pride. That's just, God's provided a job for me and he's given me these things. We have what we need. We just don't need to ask God for these things anymore. It's a beginning point. He says, neither give place to the devil. We've got to make sure that we don't give him a foothold in our lives. We're to trust God for everything. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. God is to be our source of supply. Not some job, folks. Well, not some pension. Not some retirement account. God is supposed to be the source of everything to us. In Psalm 73, it says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And there is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long I have been plagued, and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. Don't we get that way sometimes? Well, we think the wicked and the evil people, they've got everything and we've got nothing. We start to say, oh, woe is me. Oh, they've got it so good and I've got so little. And man, I've cleansed my hands in vain my heart in vain, and I've washed my hands in innocency. But I'm plagued and chastened every morning, and life is so tough. Oh, look at them. What happens? We're deceived. We're fooled. We're tricked. Aren't we? We've got to be careful. These are his devices. They're treacherous. They're a strategy. They're designed to ensnare us. But I love what David said, don't you? He said, then, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Folks, we got to come back to him. We've got to come back to our senses. Hey, that story that Jesus tells about the prodigal son. He had everything at the father's house. Then he got this wild hair in his mind and he decided, hey, I want my inheritance. I'm going to go off and live in riotous living. When he was in the pig pen, about to eat the pig's food as a Jewish boy, that was a no-no. Unclean, right? Said he came to himself. Dummy. Father's got, his servants are treated better than I am right now. I'll just go back and tell him I've sinned and I'm content just to be one of the hired servants. But what did God do? Restored him. My son's returned. What a joyous time. Folks, we've got to be careful. The devil's trying to deceive us. He's trying to get us to lift up ourselves in pride. Hey, King Hezekiah was given a grand opportunity. He had a disease. He was told his life is over. God gave him more time. And for a while he did right things, but then he got proud. What did that do for him? Got him sent into captivity. The book of Proverbs, Solomon writes about pride. And listen, Solomon understood this. And even he fell to this wile of the devil, this trick, this device of Satan. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. And the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Folks, we've got to be aware of pride. It can creep in just like that. And we don't even know it's there. You know why? Because it's so natural to the carnal man. It's so natural to the sinful flesh that we battle and fight every day as believers in Christ. It's a fight. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers. It is a battle. It is a fight. And it is in us. Remember what 1 John says. For all that is in the world. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. And the pride of life. Is not of the Father. But is of the world. We cannot be ignorant of his devices. We've got to be aware. That lies are going to come. That he's going to be subtle, and subtlety is going to be there. And that temptation is going to be there. And pride is right there knocking at your door, trying to get you down. We've got to stand against the wiles of the devil. Being strong in the Lord, and in the power of his might. And putting on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Let's look at another one. Take your Bibles and turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You're doing a great job today. We're on time. That's wonderful. See, when we're over time, it's my fault. When we're on time, it's because of you. And you're paying attention. Such a wonderful crowd today. Are you there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4? Look at this. Paul writes and says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Who does that, by the way? Yeah, this adversary, this roaring lion, this father of lies, this devil. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God, that notice that's a little g, capitalization matters, whom the God of this world, I lost my spot, there it is, whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. This is another wile of the devil. Blindness. Blindness. He blinds their eyes, unless they should see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. He doesn't want them to see. He doesn't want them to come to the light. He wants them to stay in darkness. So he does this. He blinds them so they cannot see the truth in Jesus Christ. Didn't Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the life? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But they're blind to it. They can't see it. Oh, maybe Islam is the way. Oh, maybe being a good person is the way. Or, oh, there is no God. We're just going to die and be they've been blinded. That's a wile of the devil. Remember what it says in James about being a hearer of the word and not a doer? Who's that written to? Is that written to lost people? No, it's written to saved people. And what happens to people if we are just a hearer of the word and not a doer of the work? We're like a natural man beholding himself in the glass and doing what? Being blinded, forgetting what manner of man he was, forgetting what we saw. It's like, oh, I'm okay, I'm good. I'm not that bad. I'm not certainly as bad as brother so-and-so. He's really bad. I mean, goodness. He comes to church on Sunday and that's the only time he ever reads his Bible. I just know it. So Jesus said something about something, you know, trying to pick out a mote out of your brother's eye when there's a beam in your eye. Well, what is that? It's a trick of the devil. It's one of his devices. It's one of the wiles of the devil to blind us from seeing the truth. It says here that this is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know what we're supposed to do? Let our light so shine. Why? So that they can see Jesus Christ in us. So that they'll no longer be blinded. And guess what? We also need to see that light so that we're no longer blinded by these things. Do not be ignorant of his devices. You know what ignorance is? I don't see anything. It's not there. Nope, doesn't exist because I can't see it. You know, that's what babies do. You know, you can have a little baby toy. This is fun. Brother Josh, you can do this at home sometime with Abel, okay? You have a little toy, right? Here's a little toy. And the baby's like, and you put it under a blanket, they're like, where'd it go? It's gone. And you put, ooh, oh, ooh, oh. Hey folks, we're not babies anymore. You know what happens when they develop? Pretty soon, you hide it under the thing, and they grab the blanket and move it. See, Dad, you're trying to trick me. I knew it was there all along. When are we going to grow up? Quit letting the devil blind you. Are you not mature enough in the Lord to be knowledgeable of his devices? Of the devices of the devil? He's trying to pull the wool over your eyes.
I'm going to trick you.
No, you're not, devil. I know exactly what you're doing. You can't blind me. I know the truth. In 1 John chapter 2, the Bible tells us, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past. Hey, where else have you heard that? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are, passed away, they're gone. Behold, all things are become new. We have new life in Christ. We are no longer ignorant and blinded by the devices of the devil. Yet, for some reason, we do exactly what John says not to do. It says here, this darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Folks, we choose to go back to the darkness. Why? We're like, oh, here, devil, give me the hood. I'll put it on myself.
Can't see anything.
Why do we do that? Why do we give him the opportunity to blind us again? We're not blind. We've seen the light. We've been enlightened. We don't have to give in to blindness, but yet we choose over and over again to not put off the old man. We have a new man in Christ Jesus. We have a new life to live. And in the morning, we get up and put on the old man again. Why? It'd be like me going, getting up in the morning, going over to our bathroom area. We have our closets and things. Going into the laundry, pulling out the stinkiest socks I can find. Yeah, these will do. Yeah, let's put them back on again. Oh, that undershirt. Yeah! Woo! Let's go! Why? Why do we want to put on the old one? Why do we want to be blinded again? We're not ignorant of his devices. We need to stand against the wiles of the devil. Putting on the whole armor of God. Being strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Having done all to stand. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible encourages us and says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. He's trying to get you. He's trying to lie to you. He's going to be subtle about it. He's going to be artful and crafty. He's going to tempt you. He's going to tell you, hey, there is pleasure in this. There is good in this. And listen, I told you before that the devil's not just going to say, come over here and to elicit wickedness. He's going to try to deceive you and trick you with something that looks good. It may even be good, but it's not what God wants for us. He's going to deceive you. He's going to try to get that pride to swell up in you. And he's going to try to bring you back into blindness and darkness so that you cannot see where you're going. All of this are the wiles of the devil. We've got to be aware. We've got to walk circumspectly. We need to know our enemy. We need to know what he's trying to do to us so we can stand. And having done all to stand, we need God in our lives. He must be our strength. He must be our power. And the whole armor of God must be our preparation. If we're going to succeed, if we're going to stand and withstand, we've got to put on the new man. We've got to say no to the devil. We've got to put away those things and live a new life in Christ. Because guess what? The devil is going to weaken in his ability, isn't he? As the days go on, you think so? No. He knows his end is coming. He knows his time is up soon. So you know what? He's going to be more fierce than ever before. He's going to try to take down every last lost soul that he can to hell. He's going to try to defeat every Christian that he possibly can before his final defeat. He's not going to grow weaker, folks. He's going to grow stronger. And he's going to be after us more than ever before. We've got to be aware. We've got to be. We cannot be ignorant to his devices.